Lord, we thank you for being closer to us than anyone else ever could be. Now on this afternoon, Lord, as we assemble together in thy presence, and we know that in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and in thy right hands are pleasures evermore. And Lord, as we assemble in thy presence, we ask you to speak. Lord, open our ears and open our understanding. Lord, enlighten our eyes that we may know thy will in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to help me to hide behind thine anointing. Lord, help me to hide behind the word of God. And Lord, we ask you to send that anointing and send thy word to heal some lost soul. Lord, send thy anointing to deliver some bound soul. Lord, send thy anointing to set the captive free. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Just bless the Lord today. Amen. I'm so glad I know who he is. Aren't you glad to know who the Savior is? I don't have to hear about what he's done for us, because I know what God has done for me. Amen. I don't have to look and behold the miracles that God has performed in others' lives, because God has performed miracles in my life. And on Wednesday night, we went over a false positive spiritual diagnosis. Now, a false positive spiritual diagnosis is when you see yourself one way, but the God that we serve sees you another way. Amen. In a false positive spiritual situation, you're on the mountain high, you think spiritually, but God looks at you and says, you need to come on up higher. That's a false spiritual diagnosis. And our message on today, I'll give you the message in advance so you can think about it. Amen. Our message of going along with that thought is, what does God think about you? What does God think about you? You know, in life, we do our best. If we're concerned about some self-esteem, we do our best to put our best foot forward so others will think the best about us. I remember growing up as kids, and you know, when you had a special guest coming to the house, the parents would tell us, don't you embarrass me. You know, y'all parents, y'all do the same thing, right? Don't you embarrass me, right? Or if you were going somewhere, they said, don't you shame me. Right? You better put your best foot forward, right? So that we don't want to leave a bad impression of whoever's coming or where we are going. And even us, when we go out, we do our best to look our best, because we have some self-esteem. Self-esteem means I care about what others think about me. So when we look at it in the natural sense, we do our best to impress others. But I wonder, when we get down to where the rubber meets the road, what does God think about me? How does God see me in my situations? Is God impressed with what I'm doing on the external? When the scripture says that God looks beyond our outward appearance, and that God judges our hearts. In judging your heart, that means God judges the motives and the reasonings that we do the things that we do. So sometimes we can do something, we can feel all right. But what does God think about? Not just you, before I'm worried about what God thinks about you, hallelujah, what does God think about me? I don't want to be like Paul said, after I preach to others, I don't want to be cast away. So I'm concerned about what God thinks about me. You know, and as I was preparing this message, well, why don't you always tell some stories that I've never heard before? Because stories come with the message. And then the Lord hasn't used me to preach this message before. So I got to get out. I need story. Amen. Because it fits what I'm going to talk about today. Amen. It ain't bad. I had never done nothing bad growing up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just don't think about that. Amen. But I'm going to give you, before I tell you the story, let's look at this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we know that's in a spiritual realm, or in a spiritual sense. But if we were to turn that around and say, we walk by faith, in other words, I do what's right in the sight of God because I know He's watching me. And not by sight because of what others are seeing in me. So I'm walking by faith because by faith, my whole heart's desire is to please God. But then when I walk by sight, I'm trying to please man. So today, the challenge to the church is, do we walk by faith? I'm locked in. Faith, I'm zoned in. Faith can't nobody move me because my whole desire is to please God. I like Jesus' testimony when He said, I do always the things that please. Jesus said, I'm walking by faith. Maybe there's some external circumstances that are against me, but I'm still going forward by faith. I'm not walking by sight because I know a whole lot of you are judging me. You ask me, why am I eating with sinners? You ask me, why do I keep company with whoremongers and adulterers? Because you think I'm walking by sight. But Jesus said, not me. I'm walking by faith. Well, growing up down south in Atlanta, I was in school, I don't know, high school or college. And I went home to visit one summer. And you know, my parents always taught us, even growing up, we were taught. Now, I'm not saying if you're 10 or 11, you're going to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, but when you get 8 old enough to know how a girlfriend or boyfriend is. My mother always told us, if you have a close friend, opposite sex, you should only have one close friend if it's a close friend. That's what she told us, because that was preparation for future and for marriage. All right, so that's what she taught us. So one summer I happened to go home. I don't know if I was saved or had to say, all I know is it happened. And I was riding down the street with my neighbor that was married. And as we were going down the street, I was sitting in the back seat, him and his wife were sitting in the front seat, and every pretty lady that he saw, he was waving out the window at her. I was like, what? And then his wife is sitting right beside him, but she was preoccupied. And to be honest, and then if she called him, he acted like it was, you know, I was like, really? And then they said, well, don't y'all marry nobody from Georgia. I'm just saying, this is what they said. You live in Georgia. This is what they told me in Georgia. They said, a man ain't a man unless he have 7 women on the side. Man in Georgia. I'm from Georgia, but I don't think like that, all right? But just tell me what they told me. I said something short. So he said, a man ain't a man, single or married, unless he got 7 women on his side. I said, that don't fit what I've been taught. And then the explanation was this. Georgia is way too big. You know, Atlanta is almost 100 miles in radius. So Atlanta's way too big for you to be so sincere to whoever your significant other is on this side, and you go 30 miles away and you don't know what you're doing. So you know what? That's the last time I ever went anywhere with them. Well, I'm like, that's not how I was raised. If I'm married, I'm supposed to be devoted to my wife. did not think like that. So in analyzing that, and like I said, this had come to my mind a long time. But in analyzing that, I said, yeah, when the man's wife saw him, he acted different. But when she wasn't watching him, he was a flirt. So the question is, today, as we walk before God, do we walk one way when somebody is watching us? And do we walk another way when we don't think they see us? How does God see you? Do you talk the talk when others are watching you? Do you walk the walk when others are watching you? But don't you know the scripture says about our God, neither slumbers nor sleep? In the book of Ecclesiastes, he says he's keeping a record. Everything we do, whether it's good or evil, God is keeping a record. So in me walking by faith, I don't care who's watching me, I know God sees me at all times. I know that God observes me at all times. And I'm concerned about what God thinks about me. So I'm going to walk safe because you're watching me. I'm going to walk safe because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. So when I leave church, I'm going to still be saved. If I go amongst sinners, I'm going to still be saved. Hallelujah. Well, why do you want to be like that? Because God is watching me. And I'm concerned about what my God thinks about me. I'm not just concerned when somebody else is watching me. I'm not going to put my best foot forward when you're watching me. Because God watches me at all times. God sees everything I do. God understands and knows why I do what I do. So I want to do the things that are pleasing to Him. So even if you don't see me, hallelujah, I want to still do what's right. If I go to China and it's just me and the Lord, I'm not going to act out of sorts because my God is still watching me. And I'm concerned about what God sees. So, you know, sometimes you can put forth your best foot forward. Like I said, my friend would fake it when his wife was watching. But the thing about God is God doesn't have to look at your outward appearance because God sees not as man sees. Man looks at feet. Listen. sins. I know you're uprising. He said, I know you even when you're going along the way. God said, I know you. He said, I even know your thoughts. Before you think it, God said, I know it. Before you plan connive to try to trick somebody else, God said, I already know it because I know you. Hallelujah. So sometimes we get into one little situation where we're believing everybody else. And God is saying, not so, brother. Not so, sister. I know why you're doing what you're doing. I know you're saying one thing over here. God said, but I see you over there. God said, I know you're acting one way in church. But I see you when you're not in church. And my report is you come up short because you're pleasing people. Well, what about me? Don't worry about me. Well, God, I just want to do what's right. I don't care about impressing people. I don't need a title. I don't need anything. All I need is Jesus.
Poison lecture.
Because you know I'm grown and I can do what I want to do. I Living city hasn't made no difference anyway. Doing the right thing hasn't made any difference anyway. So now I'm going to do it my way. God is? He's watching you. And aren't you concerned about what God thinks about? Well, Jesus, in dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said it this way. Fear not him that's able to destroy the body. He said, but fear him that's able to destroy the body and soul in hell. So what Jesus is saying, don't worry about man that's watching you, but when be concerned about your God that neither slumbers nor sleep. Your God sees you in all time. God never takes a rest, and God never takes a break because he's God. And I heard somebody say, he's God and he's God.
Don't you know why you're mad, God is still?
Why? be seasoned with grace. Because even in your anger, God is watching you. Now there's an old saying, they say, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I'm doing my best. I heard the scripture say that the heart is deceitful above all these things and desperately wicked. God said, even though from your heart you're doing your best, he said, who can know it? The scripture is asking, how do you know your heart? But God turns around in the next verse, I believe it's 1 and 17, Jeremiah 17, 9 says he searches us. And then 17, 10 says, God said, I have searched your heart and tried your way. God said that I searched you, and then I even figured out why you did what you did, because I am God. If we would ever see God in the perspective of being our Savior, being our healer, being our deliverer, and most of all, God watches us 24 hours a day. Even if mankind was rising up there in 25th hour, God would still be watching you. Now watch this about God. I ain't supposed to say watch this. I'm going to say watch this anyway. This is just a one watch this. Not a whole lot of watching this. For the Bible says, from eternity to earth, to eternity I am. God says, in the beginning I was God. When time existed, I was God. When time ended, I will still be God. So wouldn't it be wise that we would want a God that was in eternity, a God that never in time, and a God that would be at the time to know us?
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't that be a smart thing? Well, in the latter portion, verse 23 of Psalm 139, the psalmist, I think, figured, he said, if I make my bed in hell, God is there. Yes. He said, as I ascend to the highest heaven, God is there. So he considered, he said, Lord, whether can I go from your spirit, and how can I flee from your presence? Everywhere we go, God is there. So when the psalmist considered all of this, he asked the question, he said, Lord, search me and know my, the real you is your heart, not this fleshy heart that beats and pumps blood, but that inner being, that spirit being, that soul, that part of you that's going to live forever. He said, Lord, search that. He said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my heart. Everything we go through is God is trying us to know how we're going to think, how we're going to act, and God said, well, you pass the test, I'm going to move you to the next grade.
Yes.
But if you fail the test, God said, I got to keep trying you because you did not pass the test. So he said, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be story different. But I put it this way. I was in a situation in the past where I had to make a decision. Right? God is trying me to know my thoughts. He's only to search me and knows my heart. Now God is trying to reveal me to me. So he's trying me to know my thoughts. So what was a negative wrong situation? Don't try to guess it. What was a negative wrong situation? The person says,
yeah, I got you.
The person says, I believe with me, agree with me, and you know it's wrong, and I will bless you. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to curse you. So what do you do when a person gives you an ultimatum of what they can do or not do? I'm just wondering, what do you do? I told you I'm changing the story to protect the innocent. I'm changing it. So what do? You have an ultimatum. You can do what is right, or you can do what is wrong. But when you do what is right, oh man, I'm not going to bless you. But if you do what is wrong, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to curse you. Gotcha. You know that story? I'm changing my name. But then the person said, you have to make a decision. And it didn't even take me a half a second to say, you know what? I can never agree with wrong. I can't agree with that. Because even if I go through the facade of agreeing with wrong so you can bless me, I'm living a lie. And I heard the book of Revelation say all lies. We have their part in the lake with burning with fire and hell. So I can't even go through the motion of saying I agree because I don't agree, because I will be living a lie. So I told the person, if I agree with you, I'm living a lie. So the person said, well, you only have one of two choices. You either agree or you disagree. I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to receive the curse. Because I cannot agree with what? Lie. Then you do understand the consequences of receiving this curse, don't you? I fully understand the consequences of receiving the curse. But I heard God say, if I be for you. If you understand what is right, God said, if I be for you. If you refuse to live a lie, I heard God say, if I be for you, who then can be against you? So I had to do what was right in the sight of God. You probably know too, and what targets you probably know. But you know what? I said, you know what? Then I'm going to have to receive your wrath to receive God's righteousness. I'm going to have to receive the wrath of man to receive the righteousness of God. Well, why? Because I care about what God thinks of as you all say. Today, what does God think
about me?
As I go through my daily activities, you ever remember that song, when you see me coming, I got him? When you see me praying, I got him? When you see somebody tell me off on the green and just smiling, I got him? Everywhere I go, I got Jesus on my mind. If we don't do anything today, can we please keep the Lord on our minds? Because we're going to trying to get positions by living a lie. Somebody say, well, you'll do this, you'll do this. Oh yeah, I'm all behind you. You know, in your mind, you're like, if I do my chest, I'm going to move out the way. That's living And the Bible says God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Today, can we please be concerned about what God thinks about me? There are people that would have been saved, but they wouldn't get saved because they were afraid about what somebody else would think about them. What would my friends think if I get saved? I'm going to lose friends I never had. Aren't you concerned about what God thinks about me? I can do that, but then that lady is a goody two-shoe, holy and righteous. I heard the scripture, they come out from among them and be separate, saying the Lord. Today, what does God think about you as the elders, the ministers come forward, and as elder givers come forward with our altar call today? What does God think about me? That should be something that should resound over and over, not just in our mind, but in our souls and our spirits. I'm not going to do anything just to receive the applause of men, because I'm concerned about what God thinks about me. And the scripture said, if you do it as I service, you're doing that for me. But if you do it from the depth of your heart and soul, you're doing it for God. This week, can we purpose whatever I do? I'm going to do it for my soul as unto God and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord, I receive the reward of the inheritance of the ages.